This episode of Nothing Major is brought to you by Huel. Our listeners can get 15% off using our code, which is NothingMajor15 at Huel.com/NothingMajor. I don't know if you guys know this about me, but I'm in a bulking phase right now.
Haven't noticed.
I'm going for the muscle. The road to 260 pounds is on for me. So ever since Huel sent some product over to myself, I've been using. I'm not a skip a meal guy, which Huel is great for, but I'm like in between meals, I'm really liking the Huel. I think it's helping me keep on the weight, which I want to gain.
The Huel Black Edition for me, I crush it in the mornings. It's a hectic time with the kids getting them ready into the car to school. So I'm using it pretty much every morning for breakfast before I get on with my day. And it's the best way for me to stay focused, stay full, get the kids ready and off to school.
Big fan of it so far. It tastes really, really good. Coming up on Something Major, we're going to look back at the semifinals of the U.S. Open and look ahead, of course, to the finals matchups we have on our hands. And we're going to have a spicy U.S. Open trivia presented by Dave's Hot Chicken. So let's get the show started. Welcome back, everyone, to Something Major. The post-semifinal edition, the second-to-last episode we're going to have during the U.S. Open, John Isner, Stevie Johnson, Jack Sock, we're all wearing the black hats. The team at SIFT is with us, excuse me. No Sam Querrey. He is resting, which is completely understandable. Like, totally understandable. The guy has been, for 19 straight days, been at the site, there early, gets back late pretty much every day. So Sam has been burning the candle at both ends. Is that the saying?
I believe so.
Burning the candle at both ends. So totally understandable. Like, he needs to rest up. But back to our point from the previous pod, when he got all mad at me for not understanding the group chat, it's mainly because he's run down.
He's run down. Look.
Thank you. Jack, you pointed it out. You pointed out, and you weren't even with him.
No.
That's maybe one of the biggest upsets of the tournament. I've never seen Sam run down.
I know.
Right? Like, he is somebody that is put together. He just doesn't matter. He's never haggard, but he was very stressed that day. He had to run, catch his ESPN slot. He had a shower. He was in a car left by Citi Field. He was haggard. He was anxiety was high. So we gave Sam the morning off. He needs to sleep in before we got a pro-am here, and he's got to call a doubles final in a few hours. So he needs his beauty rest for a doubles final call.
Okay, Stevie, why didn't you bring this up on the pod last time? You know, Jack and I mentioned it. You didn't back us up. He was clearly ornery and agitated.
Yes, but I was more agitated that you couldn't figure out the timing. I was agitated that you, a Georgia Bulldog scholar, could not figure out that we had to wait until a men's match finished that night. We could not plan on a time. There was nothing concrete.
I don't know how the tennis schedule works, guys.
I get that. But yes, I was, to be fair, I was with Sam all day. So he was like, I'm going to rip John in the beginning. I'm like, let's go, baby. Like, let's do it. I'm with you.
Payback is a you-know-what because he's not on the pod and we're ripping him now.
It comes back full circle.
It sure does. But even Jack could sense it. So it was just so obvious when he sent that one message, what? And I just knew right away he was so mad at me. It's pretty funny now. But Sam, we do miss you, and we will see you in a few days when we recap the whole tournament. But anyways, let's get the show started. Guys, I want to start with the women's side of the draw. I thought those two matches were awesome, both really high intense. Of course, three set matches. Let's start with Sabalenka and Pegula, the rematch of last year's final. Jess played fantastic, but Sabalenka was just a little too clutch in the end. I don't know, you guys saw Jess's post on X. Perhaps she said she had a honey deuce in her hand, I think. And she goes, when you only lose 4 points on serve in the third set, but still lose the set. So she held serve at love.
I know.
Five times. Or whatever it was.
That's brutal.
And it's brutal. And Sabalenka just came through in the clutch, fought off some demons because we know stumbled at, you know, late in the in these tournaments. But Jack, did you catch that match? And in my mind, like, Jess, I mean, she has such a great attitude. Like, she played so well. Sabalenka is a favorite to win the tournament. But what did you think?
I thought Jess was playing phenomenal. I did think Sabalenka was going to kind of throw in the, I don't want to say yips, but she obviously can get tight on her serve. I feel like at times it looked like it was kind of going to happen here and there. Her style of tennis is just crazy. It's like every time she winds up for the ball, it's like you kind of, it's, I feel like winner or just, she just goes for everything. And I thought at some point in the third, she'd maybe make a couple errors as well as Jess was playing and get back in there. But yeah, she served really well. I feel like on really clutch moments, after missing a lot of first serves, she came up with some big ones when she needed to. I still thought Jess was going to climb back, but yeah, Sabalenka was just too strong from the baseline. Honestly, too powerful at times, just out hitting her. And, but yeah, I thought it was an awesome match actually to watch. And, I think Jess will be back in the final though at some point.
I like that. Yeah. Sabalenka's got this like really like big like backswing, like especially on her back inside, but she times the ball perfectly.
It's wild.
And she never gets cheated on her ground strokes.
That she does not.
Yeah. So what do you think of Sabalenka's performance? Jack mentioned she had that like super clutch ace after missing that like midcourt overhead. Thought maybe that might.
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was going to go downhill for Sabalenka after the first set because we've seen her stumble. For her records and her level of tennis, like at the end of the back end of these slams. And when she was up 4-2 in the first, she lost four games in a row. We're like, I'm like, okay, maybe like, you know, maybe mentally something's creeping in there that's, you know, bothering her at the end of these tournaments, which we haven't seen. And she, after lost that first set, she just buckled down and went about her business, which is impressive mentally to do. I mean, she hasn't missed a hard court Grand Slam final since 2022. She's 38-2.
No, yeah, she's been ridiculous on hard courts.
Or, you know, something like that since the, I mean, 38-2 since the start of 2023 in slams. Like, that's insane. I mean, that's Sinner's number. That's Roger numbers. That's Novak numbers. I mean, that's insane. So, you know, she's right where she should be at the end of this tournament in a final, but really impressive, I thought, the mental side to lose that first set because she's had some scar tissue. Wimbledon, French Open, Aussie Open. So really impressive by her, and it's going to be a great final today against Amanda. It's going to be awesome. Both women hit the absolute crap out of the ball, and it is going to be a hard-hitting affair on Ash today.
Well, Stevie, you mentioned it. Her next opponent, Anisimova, as good as the Pegula-Sabalenka match was, the Osaka-Anisimova match was probably maybe even a little bit better. I mean, it's just back-to-back great matches on Arthur Ashe in the semifinals. Amanda takes out Osaka. We all know how well Osaka was playing. Of course, playing a lot better than the number beside her name, number 23. She was playing like a top four player. But Amanda came through in the end, 6-7, 7-6, 6-3. Super clutch, back into another Grand Slam final. By the way, that's an American in all four Grand Slam finals this year. That's awesome. Yeah, it's awesome. But from Anisimova to, we talked about it last time, to just get killed in the Wimbledon final, come back, exercise those demons by beating Iga and then beating Osaka, who was on a tear, a heck of an effort. And now, as you mentioned, Stevie, Sabalenka, she plays in the final. But this match, Jack, what did you think Amanda showed, especially after, you know, dropping that first set and then just stuck with it. It was just one of the best matches of the tournament.
Yeah, I feel like it was an interesting match to watch. I feel like they both were fighting like the mental stuff out there. Like it was, Amanda kind of seemed on edge a little bit from the beginning, I would say. And it looked like she was going to kind of settle in. And Osaka seemed like actually much more relaxed at the beginning. And she started kind of getting a little on edge out there too, talking to her box a lot. They both were. I think at some point, Amanda's coach said, "You're not fighting with me," or something. Like it was, I think it was a very stressful, obviously emotional match for both of them, you know, trying their absolute hardest to get to the final. And yeah, it was just another ball striking clinic, I feel like. And if it seemed like whoever got the other one kind of on the move first, kind of moving side to side, was dictating points. Amanda's backhand, I've never, she could hit a winner at any point from anywhere. Like, a 90 mile an hour back end. She was, I feel like she was roping the ball. She served great towards the end, helped her a lot. And yeah, huge American in the final. But yeah, it was kind of a roller coaster wild match to watch between those two.
I think Amanda, if she can win this, I mean, you know, after the Wimbledon final, I would like her to win the first game, you know, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it would make. We saw what that meant when she won her first game against Iga. Completely freed exactly. So up. Yeah.
You know, I think if she can get out to a good start, I think she's going to win. And I think if she can win this after all that she has done, you know, gone through a couple years ago, taking that time off, coming back to tennis, losing a Wimbledon final 0-0, and then winning the US Open, like, I don't think there's any stopping Amanda from getting to, like, number one in the world and playing this well for years and years to come. I mean, that's a lot of demons to exercise. So I think if she can get this title, it's just going to be the beginning for Amanda and in a long run of, like, impressive tennis for somebody we'll talk about every slam for the next so many years that is a title contender.
I think she'll play a lot more free in this one as well. I feel like the Iga match, there was obviously demons from Wimbledon, and then maybe against Osaka with the, you know, rankings or seeds next to your name, maybe she felt a little pressure being the higher seed in the semi. And I think she's going to go out in the final, hopefully playing a lot more free. She's got nothing to lose.
Right.
Sabalenka is the favorite. She should have the pressure and hopefully come out swinging free.
But do you guys think there's a lot of pressure for both? Like, Sabalenka has kind of crumbled a bit towards the end of slams this year. Do you think she's feeling pressure? Like, who has more pressure on them, Amanda or
Sabalenka?
Or Sabalenka? Like, Amanda lost 0-0, but
I think Sabalenka.
Like, Sabalenka's like lost two finals and another semi, like, kind of on her racket. And I think the beginning of the match, like, is sounds so stupid, but like the first 5-10 minutes, like, see how they're both playing is like so important.
No, I'm with Jack. I think there's more pressure on Sabalenka in this one. But yeah, Steve, you mentioned what all that Amanda's been through. She's only 24.
I mean,
she's been pro.
It's amazing.
Seems like she should be like 28, amazing. Doesn't it? Like, she's been on tour but only 24. She's still so young. You know, Stevie, you mentioned she's been through a lot, took that long break. She lost her father. Stevie, you lost your father.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
right in the middle of your career. I simply can't imagine. You know, it's just, she's been through a lot, and to see her overcome that is very cool. But back to this match, I think there's more pressure on Sabalenka. I mean, she's had such an amazing year. She has been the best player in the world. And no matter the result of this match, she's still the best player in the world. But if she goes the whole year without winning a slam, that'll be tough for her to swallow.
Is that a disappointing year if you finish number one and don't win a slam?
I think for her, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. All right, Stevie, I heard you said Amanda is going to win.
I want Amanda to win.
Okay. Jack?
I also want Amanda to win.
Yeah, well, hold on, Stevie. Did you say you want?
Amanda. Sorry. It's early, okay, guys. Sorry. I'm like, I'm picking Amanda to win.
Okay.
Yeah, I want Amanda to win, but I think I'm going to just go with the top seed here. I think Sabalenka will win, but would like Amanda to win for sure.
Gosh, I'm going to ask the, what are the betting odds you think on that one? Not like, it's not our thing, but I just want to see how close, you know, Vegas thinks. I think this is like such a close match. I'm saying Amanda, Arena Sabalenka is a moderate favorite, like a -130, but I'm going to go with Sabalenka. And a super tight match. Like, it's going to be so much fun to watch because you're going to be able to just obviously sense the nerves through the TV. And I think if this gets down to a third set, Amanda trying to win her first slam, Sabalenka trying to, of course, cement herself again as the best player in the world and get her first slam of the year. There's a lot riding on this match, clearly.
You think this is going to be like a match for like a great, great match, or like somebody's nerves going to get in the way?
I think it's going to be a nervy match, my mind, and yeah. I guess I hope I'm wrong, but that makes for great drama, like nervy matches.
Yeah.
Like you saw, like, they're not playing their best, as long as it's tight and the scoreboard's tight, makes for great TV. So, but Sabalenka has a 66% chance of winning, according to something that the team at SIFT told us.
According to Jose.
Yeah. but anyways, that's the final, and that's coming up today, Saturday afternoon. Big one. Is that I'm assuming that's after the men's doubles final or before it?
4 p.m. Eastern. Men's doubles is at noon.
So the crowd's going to completely fill in for the men's doubles final. And then, okay. Got it. All right. Now we're going on to the men's. Again, can't wait for this final today. It's going to be awesome. It's Sinner versus Alcaraz in the end after the dust has settled. That's what everyone thought. I'm sure most brackets had that picked. We had 7,000 brackets submitted. I would imagine that most of them had Sinner versus Alcaraz for the third straight slam. And one of these two guys, or these two guys, are going to take home 8 slams in a row, which is absurd. All right, Alcaraz, Djokovic, kind of what we all thought, right? Stevie, like in this match?
Watching that one I was sitting in the stadium yesterday, like watching it as just an absolute fan. It was, I mean, Carlos is just on another level right now. I mean, it's insane. And that second set tiebreaker was so important for Novak. And I feel as if when he lost that, it kind of felt as if like the wind in his sails of the belief to win a slam left him, which is a weird, I mean, it sounds insane to say, but like at that moment, he's like, I actually don't know what I'm supposed to do to beat this guy and then go beat Sinner. And that third set, you saw Novak looking human. I know his body can't feel good. I mean, he hasn't played many matches. You know, the serve didn't look good. That was weird to see. I mean, Novak's the most accomplished tennis player in the history of the sport. And it was just strange to see, just, it didn't seem like the belief was there, right? Like, he didn't dig in. He's like, I'm going to win this in a 5-hour, 5-setter. Like, it just felt as if that just like that bubble kind of popped. And it's weird to see, but Carlos is on another planet right now. His level's insane. I think it's like the sleeveless. It's like not even a sleeve. It's like the tank top, shaved head. Like, he just looks like mean, and he looks just like he's out for business.
It does seem like he's just like an evil villain out there. But even though he's the nicest guy in the world.
It's like a G.I. Joe.
But he's smiling the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. He's just like so determined. But yeah, I thought like after that, yes, Stevie hit the nail on the head. Like Novak's belief, maybe after that second set, is tough. But Jack, what was your take on the match?
Completely agree. I think that was the first time I've ever seen Novak look defeated, like on the court. He genuinely looked, yeah, like Stevie said, he had no idea what to do, which is understandable at the level Carlos is playing. I think anybody would feel defeated and lost out there. But I still think it's an incredible run to get to the semis at that age and playing at that level, obviously. So we got to give him his flowers, as you usually say. But yeah, I think Carlos is, it went how I thought it would go. I don't know what the game plan would even be at that point for Novak. So I'm not surprised in that, but all credit to both guys for their play. And yeah, Carlos, I picked Sinner the other day to win this, and I feel like I'm scared now after Carlos's performance and level. And I know, we'll talk about it in the next match, but I might side with Carlos now, to be honest.
There was that one point in the second set, 4-all, Novak was serving 4-all, love 30. They had like a 30-35 ball rally. And no, I've never seen Novak look tired before. He won that point, which was insane. And then he still was like haggard. You know what I mean? Like, he looked haggard. You were like, wow, I've never seen this. Like, because every video we see of Novak, he's down 2 sets. He's down match points. And he still has that kind of like smirk on his face. He's like, I'm still going to win this. Like, it's not over. Like, he's still going to find a way. And it's just tricky. But I was actually talking about this with Sam yesterday. Do you think like Novak is like, hey man, like I had a great year. Like I could still compete at 38 years old. I made all the semis and like I'm right there. Or is he like, I can beat everybody else, but I just can't beat these two guys?
It's a weird thing. Like at 38, he's been the third best player in the world.
But like not close. Like it's like a, you know, it's tricky.
I think for the tennis fans everywhere, he said that he's going to likely give it another shot next year. Play all the slams, see what he can do.
I mean, if there's anybody that can figure it out,
yeah,
it's him. Like, there's no doubt about that.
But I thought the 2 days off, he might look a little bit fresher.
Me too.
He didn't. But, you know, when you're 38 and obviously you're prime for he's not immortal, but your prime is, you know, behind you, and then you're playing against a 22-year-old whose prime is still ahead of him, and you're down two sets to love. Like, what are you to do out there on the court? Like, it's even for the greatest player of all time.
I don't know how he's doing it at 38 years old. It's insane. I mean, at 35, I played a pro-am, and I think I tore both groins.
Yeah.
You know? We're in big trouble here, boys.
Yeah. No, I know. No, it's like, you know, it's back to our, my point. I think he's the greatest athlete of all time. What he's doing right now is just is crazy, but unbelievable for the tournament to have Djokovic back in the semifinals. The atmosphere in that match. You were there, Stevie. Like, how good was that atmosphere?
It was insane.
I was shocked that wasn't the night match.
No. So this was, I mean, we had some ears on the ground here. Both Novak and Carlos wanted to play day.
Novak did?
Yeah, that's what we were told. And last year they did. So there's no like precedent for it. So last year, TFO Fritz played like the Tuesday quarters and then played the Friday night match. Like, so there is precedence for like the Tuesday guys to play Friday, you know, because Sinner played late Wednesday night. They didn't want him to come back early. But from what we were told, both Carlos and Novak wanted to play day. So, but yes, there was a lot of pissed off people on the grounds, people who paid a lot of money for the Friday night match that were annoyed that Carlos Novak were not the night match. Let's just leave it at that.
But you know, you pay, you know, you choose like a, if you're just ahead of time purchasing a semifinal ticket, whether it's day or night, you had two good matches to choose from. So, obviously, on both sides, I mean, the U.S. Open has delivered. The women's semifinals were awesome. I thought the men's semifinals were awesome. I mean, the Djokovic scoreboard wasn't that close, but the atmosphere was amazing. But
not an empty seat in the house.
Nope. But let's move on to the AI machine that is Sinner. He looked a little
human in the second set.
Yeah, looked a little human. But you got to give credit to Felix. Did any of us? Any of you two, I guess, have Felix winning a set in this match? I sure
no.
Didn't.
No.
Definitely not.
Sam and I did like a little chalk talk before, and we're like, if you're Canadian or a Felix fan, get there at 7. So you're in your seat. Because this is, we had the over and under at like 7.5 games. You know, like it was, I thought it was going to be one-way traffic, but.
But he also had looks in the third set to go up a break. Obviously, he had a lot of looks in the fourth set to go up a break. And Sinner hit that like half volley backhand thing on the outside of the line.
Jack and I just couldn't do that once in our career.
Yeah, he hit the center of the string. You guys, well, all of us can maybe shank one like that, right? But like, Sinner meant to do it. But Felix, unbelievable. He played, he can be so high and so low, his level. He was playing so well. I think that was the toughest match Sinner has had in this tournament. I know he went four sets with Schoppo, but I feel like Sinner had to pick his level up a lot more in this match. So, credit to Felix, but again, Sinner just too good. That's why he's the best in the world. You know, you've saved 9 of 10 break points, and he did a bunch of them in dramatic fashion. Again, didn't serve that well though. Like that's where I'm kind of with you, Jack. That worries me a little bit if he's throwing in, you know, half. You know, he's only making 50% of his first serves, which is what he did in the Felix match. Could be trouble.
Carlos will make you pay.
Yeah, Carlos will make you pay. Sinner, by the way, is a -130 favorite in this match, which means it's not Vegas is saying it's not a pick 'em. They have Sinner as a pretty decent favorite against Alcaraz. I think that's a little off. Jack, what do you think?
Agreed. I think it's a little high for Sinner. I think it's going to be tough if he doesn't serve well, just like you said, just to comment on that, because I think His ground game obviously is just far superior than everyone, probably except Carlos. So like he was able to even miss first serves on those 9 of 10 break points, still bail himself out with how good he is from the baseline. That's not going to fly against Carlos. If you're missing those many first serves, you're not going to be able to dictate him as much as he did Felix or somebody else. But all credit to Felix. I was definitely shocked a little bit at the level he played in the second set. I don't know what Yannick, was that an ab thing, stomach thing that he was like, he went off
That's
for?
That's my guess because he went off the court.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing
yeah.
It was something.
And I know he was pointing to like his lower ab or something, but credit to Felix. He played phenomenal there for a while. I thought the crowd seemed really into it. I do think Felix like almost was overhyped at like in the first or like wasted a lot of energy in the second set, like getting the break and then he was a little too amped up. I think he was trying to get the crowd, you know, get him going. it was a weird crowd. I think they commented on during the match, but they were like cheering when Sinner would miss and stuff. And I know they want to see more tennis and all that, but it was a, of course, but it, yeah, I think that was probably an interesting position to be in for Jannik as well. But once he came back from the, honestly, the injury timeout, he's like serving fine. Looks like obviously everybody's moving fine, everything with the stomach. I had no worries. And for him, he does that like subtle little like racket, you know, like come on to his box. And I was like, all right, Felix is done.
He does this one. Like, yeah. Yeah, you're right. He goes like this.
Yeah, he does that one. And once he did that and like everything, knew everything was fine, it was game over, unfortunately, for Felix, I feel like.
There was some few like sarcastic looks from Sinner up to his box. Couple like thumbs ups when he missed balls. He was looking like a little bit like Sam Querrey-Achate.
It was like a query. It was like a query. It happens like once a year.
You took the words out of my mouth.
It's once a year. It happens once a year. And we saw it yesterday. I'm sitting up there watching. I'm like, wait, like that's something I would do. Like, I've never seen this guy do this. Like, oh yeah, good strategy, Darren. You know, Simone, like, why would you tell me to go there?
The players love this one. The sarcastic thumbs up.
She's like, I've won 27 straight matches in hard courts at slams. Like, good strategy, guys. You know, like, but it was just odd to see, right? Like, but ultimately, then the next point he has, like, you know, a good fist bump to the box. And, like, he gets over it. He gets over his agitation quick when you're that good at tennis.
Yeah, I think the crowd did want to see more tennis, but they also wanted Sinner to win because they want to see this final. No offense to Felix.
They wanted to see Sinner win that like 7-5 in the fifth.
So something's got to give in this final. And we have Carlos has made seven straight finals or something like that. Eight in a row. This is ridiculous. Monte Carlo, Barcelona, Rome, Roland Garros, Queens, Wimbledon, Cincy, and now the US Open. Eight finals in a row.
Playing for number one in the world, ranking.
Yeah, because Carlos lost second round last year. Sinner can't move up.
Nope.
Holy crap, dude. I didn't even like realize that. Like, that just adds another element to this all-time match. The winner.
And like every time these guys play each other, like Carlos is trying to stretch his lead in slams. If Sinner wins this, they're tied in slams. Like, this is juicy. This is going to be a good one.
Super juicy. Okay, what do we think, Jack, what do you think is the potential X factor in the match? Is it a fitness thing? Is there some potential concern for Sinner? We obviously all hope he doesn't get sick like he did in the Cincinnati final. That would suck. But I don't know. What do you think the X factor is in this match? Are we in, I guess, another question, I guess. Are we in for a potential all-timer like we saw at Roland Garros?
It kind of feels like it, because like I feel like again, like 2 days ago, I was like Team Sinner for sure, the way he was playing in his last match and everything, and obviously Carlos playing phenomenal. But I don't even know what you like the strategy like for the guys when they go out there. Like I feel like it's going to be watching another video game. These guys are going to be hitting the ball absolutely insane, as clean as can be, moving all over the court. I think the way Sinner bounced back with the arm issue at Wimbledon, which looked, I would think, worse than maybe hopefully the stomach thing now, and he's still able to like battle through that, I would assume he's going to be good to go and everything on Sunday. But yeah, I don't even know. Honestly, there's not much to say. I just want to like sit back on the couch and like just enjoy the match, because I do think it's going to be insane. Probably going to be, you know, pushing 4 hours and a tight four sets, maybe five sets again. I mean, I don't even know who's going to win, to be honest. I think I'm right down the middle.
No, I think it's – I mean, the big key is going to be the Sinner serve. I mean, he struggled all tournament. In the Felix match, he struggled. And the velocity went down a lot in that match for a while when he was dealing with like an ab or whatever he was dealing with. Something when he got that medical timeout, the serve dipped quite a bit. And if he serves at 50%, that's not good for him. Carlos will make you pay over the long term if he's hitting that many second serves. So – there's been zero weaknesses in Carlos's. He's won 18 straight sets handily. And, you know, so that's it. You know, if Sinner can serve well, he's going to have a great chance. But if he doesn't serve well, I'm leaning towards Carlos anyway. But I think Sinner's got to serve much better than he has the entire tournament, because Carlos will make you pay.
If Carlos can win this match in straight sets, I don't think he can. But that'd be 21 sets in a row.
Unreal.
And he's been playing golf on every single off day. I'm pretty certain he has. He definitely played, did with his 2-day break.
Yeah.
Played with. And yeah. Could y'all ever do that? I mean, I can never win a match in straight sets anyways at a Grand Slam. I mean, on a day played, off, I'm like practicing, getting treatment, and just my feet are up. I can't go play golf.
I played golf a lot of weeks, second weeks of slams. It's no big deal for me. I was very comfortable playing golf second weeks of slams.
Yeah, exactly. I wonder what the I wonder what the ratings for this are going to be. Obviously, it's going up against NFL Sunday.
Yeah.
That sucks. I feel like you should bring back the Monday final.
Yeah, then they're going to go up against Monday Night Football. I mean, come on.
No, Monday afternoon. Kind of 4 o'clock-ish.
Just keep it Sunday. I think they should make the final a week earlier on Labor Day weekend, but
That would be good. That would be tough. Yeah. All right, but we got two juicy matchups, both finals. As I mentioned in the intro, it's now time for our US Open trivia sponsored. We have sponsors, amazingly, by Dave's Hot Chicken. We had a lot of fun doing this. Myself and Sam had a lot of fun. Jack, not so much. Stevie, unfortunately, you were not there.
I was so bummed I missed this one.
I know you like milkshakes and fried chicken, you know, so yeah. It would have been your thing.
Would have been right up my alley.
Would have been right
up your alley. I'm bummed I missed it. I have not seen the video, by the way, so I am going to be seeing this for the first time.
But yeah, we filmed it ahead of the U.S. Open, like during the qualifying week. We found a Dave's Hot Chicken close by, the closest one to the site, and it turned out to be a lot of fun. Sam hosted it because he said his lips were chapped. You'll see on the
no,
video.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, yeah, it's ridiculous. But anyways, I hope you guys enjoy, and thank you, Dave's Hot Chicken. So let's roll it.
What's up, everyone? It's Sam, it's John, it's Jack. We're here at Dave's Hot Chicken in New York. So we're gonna play a trivia game. I'm hosting. These guys are gonna battle.
Can I just, why are you hosting this?
Yeah, why aren't you eating with us?
I don't know. I just kind of jumped into the hosting position. Okay. Honestly, my lips are a little chapped. I don't want the spice to get on my lips. All right, over here we have no spice chicken. Right here we have extra hot chicken. And right in front of me we have the Reaper chicken. The hottest of them all. So we're gonna play a trivia game. If you get the question right, you can have a bite of the normal chicken. You miss the question, you gotta go to the extra hot, the extra spicy chicken. Are we ready?
Yeah.
All right, also on the table, we've got a top-loaded shake with Lucky Charms, a top-loaded shake with Oreo, we got slushies, we got macaroni and cheese, we got pickles, we got honey, we got everything. Let's get started with trivia. First question, who is the youngest man ever to win the US Open singles title? Pete Sampras, Carlos Alcaraz, Leighton Hewitt, John McEnroe.
Leighton Hewitt.
Pete Sampras. I'm gonna go with Alcaraz, even though it wasn't.
Both of you are wrong. It's Pete Sampras. Both eating the spicy chicken.
I will say, just before we even get into these, the Reaper down here has like the intimidation factor of like Rafa on clay before you walk on the court.
I can smell the Reaper.
I'm like scared of that one
right
down there.
Jack,
but you just want to split one?
No.
Should we?
No.
Yeah. It's your own piece.
It was.
Pete Sampras.
Yeah.
God,
I knew it wasn't Alcaraz. I got tight.
You going big bite?
I don't know. What are we doing here?
Cheers.
Cheers.
Can you feel the spice already?
Yeah.
All right, we're going to get number two.
Second bite.
Who is the only qualifier to qualify and win the U.S. Open?
Is this male or female?
Yes.
Emma Raducanu.
That is correct. Emma Raducanu. You can reward yourself with a bite of the original chicken.
Oh yeah,
the no spice
chicken.
I get a no spicer. How you doing?
Chilling. You?
It's hot.
Yeah.
Maybe the no spice chicken will help. Yeah. Number three. Who is the only man to win the U.S. Open on three different surfaces? Yvonne Lendl, Arthur Ashe, Bjorn Borg, or Jimmy Connors?
He's first, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He really likes to take his time.
Arthur Ashe.
Borg.
You don't have to keep eating. You can wait till the question's done. You're still going. I like that. The chicken's that good, huh?
It is good.
I'm going to go with Jimmy Connors.
Jimmy Connors is correct.
One.
More spice for Mr. Isner. Mr. Stock gets the goo.
I'm going to note spices. Even though I like this one, so I'm going to have a bite.
It's a big bite.
That's a big spicy bite.
Oh, dude.
Which player holds the longest winning streak at the U.S. Open? Yvonne Lendl, John McEnroe, Roger Federer, Pete Sampras. Jack's up first.
I'm going to go with John McEnroe.
Federer is correct.
That was bad.
They're so bad.
Jack, back to the spice.
I actually really enjoy it.
You gonna lick the fingers? I feel like when you're eating chicken, that's the only time it's appropriate to lick the fingers.
That's true.
Oh man, lick the fingers is a bad move.
That's my bad. All right, here we go. Which player has the most total singles matches won at the U.S. Open? Serena Williams, Jimmy Connors, Chris Everett, Martina Navratilova. Most singles wins at the U.S. Open.
Martina Navratilova.
Jimmy Connors.
Chrissy Everett.
Hi.
Back to the spice.
Are you not, your lips aren't on fire?
We have four more, so.
And potentially the
best
Reaper.
Best of luck.
And potentially the Reaper for the loser.
You want to go Reaper for the loser?
Lick your fingers.
No,
lick your fingers.
I already did. I'm going to be like the ultimate loser.
All right, next. How much did the first U.S. Open men's champion in 1968, this was Arthur Ashe, win for winning the title? $5,000, $14,000, or $40,000?
It was $14,000.
I'm going to agree with that.
Both correct.
Yeah. I actually knew that
correct.
One.
I need this. I don't know how. Right now.
You need the no spice.
This flight's going to be so bad for you.
Milkshake with Lucky Charms? How is it?
Very good.
I can't wait to get in there.
I'm scared to wipe my face.
We're going to keep going. How many American men have won the U.S. Open singles title in the open era? 6, 7, or 8? How many American men have won the U.S. Open singles title in the open era? 6, 7, or 8?
It's a complete guess, I feel like.
6, 8.
The answer is 7.
I knew it! So bad.
Both back to the
just
extra
go with
spicy.
The middle. It's always B.
Oh, man, I can see. You're getting it under the eyes now.
I am.
Yeah.
You got some...
on my shirt,
perspiring
too.
A little bit.
Oh.
Actually, we got to see the bite.
I know, dude.
Two more. Arthur Ashe Stadium is the largest stadium in the world. What is the official seating capacity? 20,000, 23,000, 28,000.
23,000.
That is correct.
I knew that. Am I losing right now? Am I the ultimate loser right now?
Right now, we're tied. If you end in a tie, you both have to do the Reaper, and we are down to our final question.
All right. Wait, he's going first?
It's better to go second.
Which Nothing Major host, so it could be Jack, John, myself, or Steve Johnson, has played the U.S. Open the most times? Who here has played the U.S. Open the most times?
Does that count qualifying?
Yes, it does.
Sam Querrey.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you did tie because you both got that answer correct.
Can we do like a rock, paper, scissors? That'd be a good way.
I'm okay with that.
Nothing Major wager.
Rock, paper, scissors, one time. I actually want some chicken myself.
Eat some spicy chicken, you wimp.
Yeah.
I told you my lips are chapped.
So slow.
I'm going to be in your head like what are the odds?
Mm. Yeah. Mm. 1, 2, shoot.
Yeah. No, 1, 2, 3, shoot.
Okay.
Yeah. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
I mean, when you're ready, I'll ready. Give it. Rock, paper.
Hold on. We got it.
All right.
You're always scissors. sorry. Edit that out.
Take a nice big bite in with the finger lick, please.
I'm coming from the guy crying right now.
Well, yeah.
Is that healthy enough?
Is it significantly hotter than this one?
It's starting to take effect, that's for sure.
I appreciate you guys letting me host. I would have really struggled.
A full sweat.
I have lingering spice from the...
My mouth is on fire.
No, that's good.
All right, that's it for us. Congrats to John Isner on winning the challenge. We're, again, here at Dave's Hot Chicken. We had three kinds of chicken out here. We got the non-spicy chicken, the extra spicy chicken, and the Reaper chicken. If you like really spicy, you can get the Reaper chicken. It's been great. I've got the original in front of me. Jack's still struggling. He took a bite of the Reaper. Again, if you like the spice, get the Reaper. That's it for us. See you guys later.
My lips are chapped.
All right. Thank you, Dave's Hot Chicken. That was a lot of fun for Sam and myself. Jack, how about you?
I will say the chicken is phenomenal, but there is one item they have on the menu that is that we played for was the hottest thing I've ever consumed in my life. I think my stomach is still recovering about a month later, but
the Reaper.
Yeah, the Reaper. The Reaper is... I don't know. I don't know who orders that and what mindset you're in, what mood you're in. But if you want to,
it'd be a good way to torture people.
Yeah,
if you get some information out of them, just keep feeding them the Reaper.
You know, it's a really good. You see, like on Instagram, you see like all like the fantasy football like punishments or whatever for like the next year. That'd be a good like you lose your fantasy football draft. You got to go eat like two of those things and then. Try to recover for a week, but the chicken in general is phenomenal. Dave's Hot Chicken. Thanks for having us. It was a lot of fun though.
All right, let's get into our bracket challenge. Stevie, you're about to say something.
Yeah, I got one bone to pick at the end of this episode on the...
Is it with Sam Querrey?
No.
Oh, dang it.
On bracket challenge.
Okay. The bracket. Yeah, I know. I know what your bone is, but too bad.
No. I'm with you. I just think I shouldn't go from 90th to last based on one match.
Dude, you're top 100 in the world.
I'm literally 90th. To be like
unranked.
I'm going to go from 90th to singing a jingle if Sinner wins this.
This is
insane. So you can't do that.
You're 90th place out of almost 7,000?
Yes.
And Sam?
Sam is 4,389th, and he's going to beat me if Sinner wins.
And Sinner's the favorite to win.
And Sam's going to jump, 4,000 spots with a win.
Yeah, that's a big bone.
Just going
bone
forward,
to pick.
We're going to have to talk to the team. The finals can't be worth 700 points.
Yeah, that's too many points. Like, I'm with you, Stevie.
Like, I mean, I'm all for it. I'm good for it, but it just seems... That seems
tough
for me.
I'm not.
I know you and Jack are like
just Switzerland.
No, this is beautiful. Yeah, Switzerland. Exactly right.
But yeah, it's been fun.
But it's down to two
two guys: Thanios picks and racketeering.
Yep, that's it.
Somebody's gonna get 2K, baby.
Yeah, that's right. And the loser is gonna be like 3,000th place.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they're gonna be down with me.
That's so good. Yeah. So the winner's getting $2,000 gift card to Tennis Warehouse, and second place, $500, third place, $100. And then the priceless gift of coming on the pod, of course.
It's probably going to be in North Carolina. Racketeering is probably somebody from North Carolina.
If he's from North Carolina, it's
rigged.
We got it. Yeah. It might be rigged, actually.
I wonder if they're hedging.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hedge.
Yeah. Smart.
Hedge the other way. Bet the other way.
Yeah.
Guarantee yourself.
All right.
But it's not straight cash. It says Tennis Warehouse. A lot of good stuff on Tennis Warehouse. So,
yeah.
You know how many Nothing Major hats you can buy for that?
A lot.
I haven't done the math, but a lot.
Rumor has it we might be...
I will say...
We might be moving to some different areas of merch.
You want to know
what's
been...
The rumor mill is swirling.
Sam and I have been floating around the grounds. We've probably had 10 people come up just like, hey, like, we run a merch company. Like, we'd love to help you guys. We hear you guys have some problems. We're like, we have a lot of problems, but we're getting the ball rolling on merch. But like, thank you. You guys could have come in handy about a year ago.
No, we got it dialed in now.
Yeah, we're just working it now. But like, it just, a year ago, you guys could have got up to us at the open and told us. Not now.
And again, it's like we're on Shark Tank. Everyone wants it. Production issue. But we have it figured out now.
We were gonna pitch Damon John. We missed that opportunity at the open a couple days ago.
Yeah, he was there. That's it. All right. Good show, fellas. Thanks for getting up early. Sam, enjoy your beauty sleep. Rest up for the doubles call, and we will see you in a few days.